Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome B-Tech Smith and Steve Mex. B-Tech Smith and Steve Mex, you are now entering the Megacast. The Megacast.
What's going on, Ted?
What up, Steve?
Just excited to do the Megacast with you, my man.
Dude, you know what? I've never noticed till today. Number one, you control our headphone volume, right?
I control mine. I think you got a knob over there, man.
Well, turn yours up.
All right. Check.
See? It gets louder in mine, too.
You go, yeah, see? I can see.
Yep. Solid point, Steve. You can't see at all. It's sound in my ears.
Wait, so my headphone knob controls your headphone volume, even though you have a headphone control volume over there?
Correct.
We exist in the world's worst studio. I mean, really. I'm glad we're moving.
Well, that's part of it, too.
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel bad. The engineers and stuff, I don't blame them. They've given up here.
Yeah, I would, too.
Right? Everything's moving. There's going to be nice new stuff. But, yeah, I didn't really note. Like, today, I thought I had noticed it, and you turned it right from when we started. And I go, how? Like, that doesn't make sense that you can control my headphones from the board over there.
No, in theory, not even in theory, logistically, I should have no bearing on your headphone volume.
Right.
So mine is like a master volume, and then you have like a micro volume.
But see, when I turn mine up, it doesn't affect yours.
No.
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 Well, anyhow.
But if I do this, you can't hear it.
I can't hear anything.
Yeah. And now you can.
Yeah.
Nice. I could just screw with you while you're doing your TV time with Ted.
Well, it's called a TED Talk here. I don't even know if I'm on the air. God damn it, Steve.
I love how I'm just, right now we're amusing ourselves. I'm turning the volume up and down whenever Ted talks, and it's distracting him, but it has nobody has any idea of what's going on out there.
Yeah, because we sound normal the
right.
whole time.
Yeah, okay.
I was just going to say, I thought it was nice that you picked a good volume. Like, I agree with it.
Okay, good.
Well, because a lot of people in our business just blare everything.
I know. You know who does it?
Castle.
Well, because... Well, you would know that from your days of working the board.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh.
Miles.
Miles. Yeah.
Miles is going to go deaf.
Miles, Thrill, and Castle all blare it so loud.
And I always thought mine were pretty loud because I have hearing loss from playing drums since I was 11 years old. Dude, whenever I plug my headphone jack into the jack in the main studio where we all share, you know, the room, and I share the same space as Miles Montgomery from the men's room, as soon as I plug it in, I never put him on my head before I plug him in first and lower the volume because it's loud just coming through my headphones, let alone putting him on my head.
Yeah, like if you come into the men's room during the show and all the monitors are down, it'll sound like speakers are on because their headphones are just sitting there.
It's not good for him, man.
But I think that's just those old school radio dudes. They blare it.
And it makes them feel more alive.
Something.
Yeah.
It's weird,
see,
too.
Ted and I are young school. We're the new school. Those guys are old dogs.
And you're a standard too, right?
I go back and forth. When I do my news report, I sit. I don't know why, but it makes me feel like more like an anchor.
Okay.
It's a psychological thing. And I even like right before I start my news, I always go like I tap my papers.
Oh, yeah, you got to.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, she, check it out. I've got news for you right now. The weather's going to be 70 degrees.
Now we go to our newest report, a scoop.
Yes. Let's check with our news hound over there, Ted Smith. Tell us what's going on with downtown Seattle.
Ah, we had another one of them bank robberies.
Tragedy strikes on 3rd and Pike. I just picked that area because typically tragedy does strike on 3rd and Pike.
Yeah, it does. I saw a fight down there the other day.
It's the worst part of Seattle. 3rd and Pike and Pine.
Yeah.
Between 2nd and 3rd, Pike and Pine. Like, I cringe whenever I have to walk to the show box because I know I'm going to be bothered by somebody.
Yeah, at least the show box, you're a little bit.
But if you park on 2nd and you start walking.
Right, you got to go by that McDonald's.
Oh, the McDonald's is the worst.
Right, and here's the problem. I don't know what the answer is, but it appears at some point everybody in the city just surrendered that McDonald's would be owned, I think, by the Crips or somebody. It's clearly gang activity that goes on there all day long.
Were you here? Maybe you weren't around yet because that McDonald's, there's nothing to do with the actual McDonald's. The food is still delicious. I've eaten there, but.
No, and during the day, it's got to be a popular McDonald's because it's that close to the market.
Mm-hmm.
So you still get a ton of tourists. It's just at nighttime, it's just like,
it's
I don't.
Sketch.
Yeah.
Were you here when they try to combat the sketchiness outside of that McDonald's by pumping country music?
No.
So it must have been maybe 15 years ago.
All right.
Because this has been a problem forever. I'm shocked that that McDonald's is still there. It's been a problem for as long as I've lived here. That has been known as the area. Like, if you want McDonald's, take a cab and go to the one on Fifth Avenue by the Space Needle. Because it's not worth going to that McDonald's just because of the people that are hovering outside of it. It's super. So they tried.
In 13 years, I think I've stopped in that McDonald's like two or three times.
Right. I've stopped in there a couple times. And finally, I'm like, I just don't feel safe.
Yeah.
And they decided, oh, yeah, you know what we'll do? We'll pump country music to try and get the riffraff out.
Yeah.
I don't know if it worked or not, but they don't do it anymore.
Well, that was a big deal with the classical music. Well,
clearly, it didn't work.
But there's some studies that say it does.
Because
there's a couple buildings in Belltown that always play classical music outside.
Oh, that's probably why. Okay. Yeah. That's funny.
Well, the thing is, too, right? Anytime you have an apartment building or a condo building or a business like a McDonald's, like, number one, the McDonald's is just physically open, and it's cheap. So people can spend a lot of time in there to begin with.
True.
And then number two is there's going to be awnings and stuff. So, like, people are going to crash there. Like,
if it's raining or any kind of weather conditions. Is there any type of music that would drive you away from something?
I mean, it might be country.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, 80s, 90s era country. Like, I don't mind, like, obviously the old school 70s stuff.
I don't mind, right? I like the old school stuff. I like, who's my guy? He's current.
Luke Bryan?
No. Turtles All the Way Down.
Keith Urban?
No.
Sam Hunt?
No, he's not that popular.
Sturgill Simpson.
Sturgill
Simpson?
Yeah.
Whatever, Simpson?
Yeah. Sturgill, yeah. Like, I like him.
I'm down with the Brothers Osborne.
All right.
I like those guys.
And I mean, some of the new country I shouldn't say I don't like. I don't know it enough.
It's poppy country, and
it's
I don't
poppy.
Mind it.
Yeah.
It's that, like, cheesy country I can't stand. My dog died, and ba-ba-da-ba-da-ba-doo.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, look, my beef with the country is the same thing that country people say with rap, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just about bitches and money, this and that. And like, yeah, well, every time I listen to country, it's about being broke and drinking a beer on a riverbank.
Yeah.
Like, they should aspire for more than bitches and money, and you should aspire for more than being broke on that riverbank.
It seems like together, they could work to become better people.
See, right, the middle ground would be like middle class.
Yeah. That's right. Who's the one that did the, was it Usher? Who collaborated with, like, Tim McGraw?
Oh, that was Nelly.
Nelly.
Yes.
Yeah, see, both Tim McGraw and Nelly are fine.
Yeah.
Because they work together.
I mean, it might have killed Nelly's career. Tim McGraw, I think, is still fine. You know, people don't speak with Nelly as the same reverence as they used to.
Kind of killed his cred. I'm wondering that with Jason Derulo. I was watching my wife. It's funny. She said she's not a fan of country, but she asked me to record and DVR the Country Music Awards.
All right.
Which, oddly enough, the CMT Country Music Awards was not on CMT. It was on the Nickelodeon channel.
Huh.
I didn't get that. But all of a sudden, they're doing, I don't know who it was, Florida Georgia Line, and one of the newer poppy country artists. They're doing their thing. And then all of a sudden, Jason Derulo comes out, and he's doing stuff with them. And then he does his big hit. I don't know how it goes. Hey, you want to want me?
I don't know if I know it.
I want you. My wife makes fun of me all the time. She's like, "You would if someone put a gun to your head and said hum a popular song, you would not." And so that to the point where we can understand what song you're humming, I would fail and I would die.
I'm a bad hummer too.
Yeah, we'd be terrible chicks. Why don't we get our push-ups out of the
way? Right.
This time around,
what's that break about?
Nothing about McDonald's. Country music. Talk about going on a tangent.
Right, we did not stay on the highway.
No, we were the most.
That's I'm like, I don't even know how this goddamn started.
Well, how did we start this?
Right, how did we end up at the McDonald's at 3rd and Pike?
We were complaining about the headphones, and somehow we ended up with me humming a Jason Derulo song. That, my friends, is the MegaCast. That's why you download it and subscribe to it every damn week.
Right. I hope there's somebody on a treadmill right now in their headphones be like, no, man, this is how it happened.
We'll probably get a tweet from someone, and they'll create like a pie graph or like a chart that shows the flow of what our first break is on the MegaCast. We never get to the push-ups and the TED Talk right away. It's always like we're up against the break when we do it. So why don't we get the heart rates and the blood pumping in the brain?
Functioning.
I picked this song because I'm pumped about pain in the grass. If you take Stone Sour, their new song, song number 3.
Yeah.
I love this song.
I'm pumped for next Saturday, dude.
It's going to be so much fun at the White River Amphitheater. Get your tickets at KISW.com.
Yeah, man.
All right, let's get 10. No one else has ever loved me. No one else has ever tried. Three. Never understood. Five. How much I could take. Seven. Eight. Then I saw the worst was over. When I laid my eyes on you. If you're new to our podcast, yes, we do push-ups before. Well, in the middle of our show.
Usually at the beginning, usually at the end. Now we do them in the middle.
Yeah, now we do it like 10, 15 minutes into the show. I'm so excited to see these guys live.
If you Yeah, man. Plus, like, I don't know, pain's always fun. I was saying on my podcast, like, you know, with the Men's Room syndication, we've had to kind of tweak a few things.
Yeah, you can't get uber local on times, I
bet. Yes.
Yeah.
And I was saying, like, I'm freaking out, man. I want to see people in pain. Like, I feel like, there's certain things I want to bring up all the time, but I can't.
Yeah.
You know?
What bands are you most excited to see?
Man, I'm kind of excited to see Yellow Wolf.
Thank you, man. I've been listening. I actually spent some time when we were in Hawaii. In where the hell do we go? Las Vegas.
All right.
We're sitting poolside, and I'm like, I need to listen to some like cool summertime vibe. You know, at that time, I was on a big Chris Cornell kick, and my wife finally had to shut it down. She's like, you're depressing me. Like, stop listening to Chris Cornell.
I had to stop listening to it, too.
Right.
After a few days.
Yeah, she was like, that's all you listen to is Audioslave, Soundgarden, and Chris Cornell. Like, tone it down, because I could tell it's bumming you out. I'm like, okay, I should listen to something more cool and chill, and I went with Yellow Wolf.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know how the crowd is going to react to him, which kind of excites me.
Yeah.
Because he's not a rock guy. He's kind of like this mellow, cool, vibey hip-hop.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun,
Yeah, Yellow Wolf, I've never seen baby metal. I've only heard about it. I think the stage show will be pretty cool to see.
I have people who never ask for tickets, like friends,
yeah,
that are asking because of baby metal.
Yeah. And then after that, man, I'm just, you know, the backstage barbecue is always cool. Mm-hmm. But like, we have like that Men's Room happy hour and a half,
which I found out, you know what's funny, like you got your happy hour and a half, we have our happy hour or whatever, it's at the same time in the same place.
Yeah, I didn't know if we were supposed to say that. I am pumped about that.
Me too. I know.
Yes! That's going to be so much awesome!
I don't get why they didn't like promote it that way. Like, hang out with BJ and Migs in the Men's Room. So, like, look, if you're listening, because I know you're sold out.
Yeah.
And we still have a few tickets left.
Do you?
Not much. Like,
get them.
You know what the problem is? Yours also, I mean, I'm not saying, like, obviously you guys are super popular and people love you and they want to party with you. I'm not, like, but you also have sausage on your party as a benefit. Oh. And yeah. Ours doesn't offer a sausage.
You guys don't have sausage, huh? Well, you better stay on your side of the block, son.
Yeah, you know what? If you want sausage, reach into my pants. My sausage is for all of you. Don't tell my wife.
or HR.
Yeah.
Tech Talks, starring B-Tech Smith.
I hope today, as you listen to this, Steve can attest, I have a nice big smile on my face.
Yes, you do.
And a big part of that is, like, my house is finally done. It's all in there. It's set up. I got my cable on. I got Wi-Fi. Living without Wi-Fi is a weird circle of hell, by the way.
You were probably just, I bet your data plan was almost done in 1 week.
It was, and yeah. I bought it. I had to buy a new one. Yeah.
What was that, like $15?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
How much was it actually?
It was a little more.
Was it?
Yes.
Oh, that's a dagger.
But either way, my point is just, now granted, mine were all kind of not too serious. Like I was just, well, I mean, I was moving, but like nobody had died. My point is that there was just, it seemed like the longest month in a long time and nothing was going my way, right? Last week, what did I say? I'm on the opposite of a heater.
Yeah.
So... tough times, they will pass, everybody. I'm here to tell you. Last night, I was watching Viceland, Desus and Marrow.
I like tough times. For some tough times, losing a family member, going through a divorce, an awful breakup. It will pass. It's just like Ted when he didn't have cable and Wi-Fi. Eventually, you'll get your, you know...
All right,
your
Steve.
Version of Wi-Fi and your you know, you might get a new wife or a new family member. It's just like what Ted's going through.
All right, so those are a little heavier. I'm just trying to be overall positive here, Steve.
I respect that.
Don't drag me down that negative route. You know where I was last week.
Miserable Migs, you need to leave the studio, and we need happy Migs.
You're right.
See you guys. F off. All right. Miserable Migs is gone. Ted, you're right.
It sounds even worse now that I'm laughing, but like, yeah, if you have something much more serious, don't, like, that too will pass. This is not very motivational. No, bro, trust me. It'll be fine, man. You'll be
just listen to some Yellow Wolf. Smoke a joint. Watch television. Might I recommend the Vice Channel?
It was the opposite of a motivational speak. He laughed. I don't think he really cares.
That is so awesome. Bro, speaking of Vice, apparently they're going to be following, I don't know exactly what they're going to be doing, but they're following some of the local wrestlers. They might even be some writers at the Defy Wrestling show that's going to be happening at the end of the month.
Oh, nice.
And Vice might be doing a big piece about Seattle wrestling.
Do you know what show it's on?
I have no idea.
All right.
I'll find out.
All right.
But I thought of you because I'm like, I know you're a big Vice guy. You got me hooked on that channel and hooked on that whole conglomerate of Vice news and things
like
that.
Dude, I'm telling you, last night was the first day I had TV. And like, so I went home. I watched a show called Weedikit that's about weed and stuff. And the guy was in the state of Washington talking about weed and DUIs. And then I watched, then I on-demanded an episode of The Wire, and then I watched Desus and Mero, and I was like, yeah, back in it.
Ted is back. I like that you went with The Wire, your favorite show.
Yeah.
It was like, I need to break it back in. It's like that's like your champagne being smashed against a boat.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, well, yeah. Also, too, like...
Welcome back, Cable.
Yeah, and I kind of forgot, like, I got a few movie channels and stuff. I was like, damn, they have everything on this on-demand library. Like, I was like... They have every season of The Wire? Like, all right.
It is crazy how much stuff is out there. I mean, and then, like, for an extra amount, you could get, like, you could do, like, that streaming version or whatever they have on Comcast where you get even more television shows. But it's nuts how much, like, and
it blew me away.
And I'm still that guy that's like, what do you want to watch? Like, I don't think we don't have anything. It's like, all that's on our DVR is wrestling, and I know you don't want to watch that, hon. So we watch Brockmire.
I don't know what Brockmire is.
Bro.
Sounds like another wrestler.
No, Brockmire is, it's on the IFC channel, and it's on demand. Watch it. It's about Hank Azaria plays a baseball commentator.
Oh, yeah, that gets wasted.
He goes off the deep end and starts like going off about how his wife is getting railed by other guys. He used to be like the Kansas City Royals play-by-play guy for the radio. He gets fired and like leaves the country, disappears, has no idea that he became a viral internet hit for that meltdown. Comes back, gets hired by some small podunk town to do live play-by-play announcing at a minor league baseball team, like super minor league, right? And he it's just from there hilarity ensues.
Yeah,
it's good. It's really good. It took me a while to get into it because a lot of people were telling me it was good. So
what's it on?
IFC.
IFC.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, watch it, dude. You'll love it.
I'm in.
It's a style of comedy you'll get a kick out of.
All right.
But let's take a break. When we come back, oddly enough, I want to talk a little bit about America's Got Talent.
All right.
Now that you're back into watching television, I feel like we should talk about some television.
You know, yeah. All right, I'll wait.
All right, the Megacast will return.
Ted and Steve make me who I am. I'm a robot after all. Dumbasses. The Megacast will be back.
What do you want your beer to be? Well, let's see. How about flavorful, frothy, sparkling, refreshing? One that's got a nice head on it when you pour it in a glass. And above all, you want a beer that just takes care of your thirst, right? Wrong! Fact is, you could care less if your beer is full-bodied, sparkling, flavorful, or even cold. You drink the damn stuff warm just as long as you get drunk! I thought so. Come on, you want an honest beer? Here it is! Buzz! And Buzz Light! taste good? Well, I guess they do if you like moose urine. But oh, they'll get you high. Buzz and Buzz Light. Because we know beer is not about taste. It's all about the buzz.
These guys would crush a cake by the ocean. The Megacast is back.
This song outside of the donkeys.
This song was a huge hit at my on the party bus at my birthday party last year.
Yeah, and then we listened to it a bunch again this year.
Yeah,
but I'm not positive I know who it is.
It's one of the Jonas Brothers. He has a band called Dance or DNCE.
Is it Nick Jonas? Joe Jonas.
I think it's Joe Jonas.
All right.
And I love the record. The record's like, if you like upbeat, super catchy, mindless pop music.
Yeah.
DNCE is a great band to check out. It's just fun. It's chill. But I made sure to play that one on the way out of that break because that song got covered on America's Got Talent.
All right. And I just wanted to say every time I hear that song, it just takes me back to the bus. It just, I don't know. All of a sudden, Jay's right there in front of me and we're on that bus.
The J-Mac. You know what it takes me back to is because I originally never thought about playing it on the bus, but it was at my birthday party. Remember when our friend Romance, the porn star?
Yeah.
It always sounds so weird. Like, it's like, oh, yeah, our friend Romance, the porn star, and one of her friends and Red the Stripper are all on the bus, and they kept saying, play the dance song. And I'm like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. And they're like, play the dance song, because I'm doing the DJing. And I'm like, what? That song. And I played it, and the whole bus is rocking, and everyone's loving it. And I'm like, oh, okay, mental note. Play that at the classic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a fun one. But on America's Got Talent, they had a guy, Daniel Ferguson. I don't know if you're watching it. Well, probably not because you just got cable yesterday. He's an impressionist. And I don't watch much of America's Got Talent, but I came across this clip this morning.
Is Stern still on that show?
No idea.
All right.
Again, I just saw this clip. I just thought it was hilarious, and that's why I grabbed it.
All right.
So this guy's an impressionist. He decided to sing that Cake by the Ocean song, but he did it in a bunch of funny voices.
That's what they're saying? Cake by the Ocean?
That's the name of it. Yeah.
I never knew that.
Cake by the Ocean. I don't know if that's like a drug reference or...
Oh, it just sounds like balling.
Or
eat
sex.
Cake by the ocean? How often do you eat cake by the ocean?
I never eat cake by the ocean.
Either have I.
I'd be fine with a cupcake by the ocean.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, I'd be cool with just a Snickers by the ocean.
Well, I don't know, man.
Twix.
Twix and Snickers are good, but that's not balling. That's not eating cake by the ocean.
It's a solid point. It's more like you're kind of roughing it.
I'd eat pie by the...
Are you sure with all that sand?
All right, sorry. I had no idea they were saying cake by the ocean. Yeah. God damn.
So this guy, he does a version of that song, but he does it in these voices, and it's in this order. So while you're listening, kind of keep a mental note.
All right.
First person that you're going to hear singing on this clip is Goofy.
All right.
Then Scooby-Doo.
All right.
Then Kermit the Frog.
Nice.
Then Peter Griffin from Family Guy.
Awesome.
And then this is the best one because he's, I think, one of the judges, Simon Cowell.
Excellent.
All right, so here's this guy from America's Got Talent doing that song with all these voices.
We're just getting started, don't you tiptoe.
That's Goofy.
Tiptoe. Yo. Race time for terrestries. Race time for terrestries. We're going to be rolling me. We're going to be a right fantasy. We're a real right fantasy. We're going to be real rarely. We're going to be rarely.
Talk to me, baby. Sweet, sweet craving, whoa. Let's lose our minds and go crazy, crazy, yay! And keep on hoping we're the cake by the ocean. Walk for me, baby. I'll be Diddy, you be Naomi. Whoa. Let's lose our minds and go crazy, crazy. And keep on hoping we're the cake by the ocean.
I love it!
I feel like Kermit into Peter was a smooth transition.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
He spent a lot of time with Scooby-Doo.
No kidding.
Scooby-Doo's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
All the Scooby snacks by the ocean.
Some people like Scrappy-Doo.
Scrappy-Doo is bad. But Scrappy-Doo is like the friend that you kind of get annoyed with. When you're at a bar.
Yeah.
You know, you got that one friend that's constantly trying to start fights. And you're like, guy, I just want to hang out, have a good time. Why do you got to create drama with people that we don't know?
I mean, the name Scrappy is in his name, dude.
Solid point. Why do I keep inviting him out if his name is Scrappy, dude? You're right.
That's how he keeps it. Golly.
I also grabbed this clip from America's Got Talent because I thought of you, not because you bomb on stage, but because you've done stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
And there's nothing worse than probably bombing on stage as a stand-up comic.
Yeah, when people don't laugh.
But there's probably nothing extra worse about bombing on stage when doing stand-up comedy when millions upon millions of people are watching you on television.
Yeah.
This guy by the name of Wyatt Gray, he tried to do his stand-up routine, and boy, oh boy, it did not go well. To the point where the crowd started booing him.
Ugh.
Here, check it out.
Go for it.
Okay. For the longest time, I didn't know that Chaka Khan was a talented singer-songwriter. I thought Chaka Khan was a phrase that you exclaim triumphantly, much like Boom Shakalaka. So if you can just kind of picture a small white boy just periodically shouting out, Chaka Khan, that was me, that was me. I know a lot of...
I like that he keeps pausing for her laugh breaks, but like, there's nothing happening.
Well, I mean, he could go home and then edit in a laugh track.
Chaka Khan, that was me, that was me. I know a lot of comedians will talk about their sex lives. I don't have one of those.
Simon?
Like when people say that they had a sexual encounter, that never made sense to me because, you know, this is not going well for me.
All of a sudden it became Showtime at the Apollo.
I was just thinking, like, how they turned on him.
They just turned on him.
Did the Sandman jump out?
No, it's not.
In essence, I just wanted to say thank you so much, and Chaka Khan, thank you, everybody. I now throw myself on the mercy of the judges.
I, you know, at that point,
it was so uncomfortable.
It was.
Everything was just wrong, and no.
Yeah, I don't even think you should wait for the judges.
Right, like you could hear it in his voice as soon as he started.
I'd leave and just beat traffic.
And people know. I don't know how to explain it, but when you're on a microphone, like, especially with comedy, but almost any time, people can tell if you're okay in there or if you're nervous.
And do you think it's kind of like they're sharks in the sense, like they see blood in the water?
Yeah. It's like the one of the weird times where kind of like an animal. Yeah, sometimes you can look at a dog and you just know, like most dogs like me, but like a couple weeks ago, I was like, that dog is just, you know, it just looks in or it can challenge you or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, like that guy sounded weak and scared and the audience just preyed on it.
And I thought he had a potential to do something funny when he was talking about the sex stuff. Like, he's like, yeah, you know, everyone talks about their sex. I don't really get to do that. I was like, okay, it's funny if you're going to go down the self-deprecating road, but it didn't go anywhere. And he did
no.
That. Poor guy did this on television.
Yeah, he sounded nervous, self-deprecating.
Yeah, like he was unsure about his hatred of himself.
Yeah. I mean, that's a tough room, too, though. To walk out there in front of all those people and try to get jokes going within, like, what, 30, 40 seconds?
But wouldn't you fine-tune your act before you even step foot on that stage? Like, wouldn't you be going out guns a-blazing? Like, I mean, I know you've done stand-up, and wouldn't you grab the stuff that you know kills?
Yes.
I don't know if this
I don't know that his stuff... it might not be that awful, him doing that at an open mic in a club, but that did not work well for that audience.
I felt bad for the guy.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that is brutal. Brutal.
Because at least, like, here's the deal. A singer-songwriter,
mm-hmm.
if they're up there and they can't sing, at least they're still playing the guitar or playing the piano, and you go, all right.
And there's something...
They're off pitch.
And there's something funny about being a bad singer. It's why people loved the first few weeks of American Idol when it was a show.
Right. And you're like, they're off pitch, but they're trying this or that. Like, yeah. When you're a comedian and you're on that stage and you don't do well, it's just like, this guy sucks. Get him out of here.
And do you think it's also in a sense that with singers, if he's playing the guitar, like you said... Most people would be like, well, I can't do that. So, I mean, kudos to him for having the ability to even do that much. Like, I couldn't even. But a lot of people, whether it's true, and most often than not, it's not, think that they can go up on stage and tell jokes. Well, I'm funny amongst my friends.
100%.
Yeah.
And, right, like, if you ever come and go, or like, sometimes people are like, well, I'm generally the funny one. I'm like, if you got to qualify you're the funny one, you've already lost me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the other problem is too, is sometimes you got to think of the group you're hanging out in, right? Like, you know, if you're I don't know, let's say you've been working at this department for this long. Well, the people under you kind of have to laugh at some of your jokes, but they suck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or if you're just like the patriarch of the family, you might get a courtesy chuckle. That doesn't mean you're actually funny.
Right. People are just like coming to your house and eating your awesome food.
Yeah.
So, of course, they're going to laugh at your jokes. So next time that guy needs to show up with some awesome food.
Yeah. Like when I was a janitor, there was a guy that he was like, I'm the funny guy, this and that. But we all hated his jokes. They were awful.
Do you get this sometimes? I don't know when I'm talking. Sometimes I'll be randomly talking with someone. They're like, yeah, you know. When they find out I do radio,
yeah,
and I'm sure you get this as well. It's like, you know, a lot of people told me I'd be great for radio too. I'm like, and it's more often than not, their reason for it, they say, yeah, you know, I mean, a lot of people say I just have a great voice for radio.
Yeah.
And I look at them, I go, I don't have a great voice for radio. Ted, I don't think you do.
No.
Not that, like, it's bad. It's
no,
just,
but, like, right, when they think about, like, traditional voices, nobody would ever pick my voice.
I couldn't get on the air at first when I worked at the end because my boss told me, you have an accent, your voice is a little nasally, it's this, it's that, you won't work. And I remember arguing with him going, yeah, I don't sound like anyone else that you have on our radio station. That's a good thing. I think I'll stand out. Good or bad, I'm going to stand out.
Yeah, well, it's funny now because people that like know what I do go, oh, you got a great voice for radio. And it's like, no, I don't. You're just used to hearing it now.
Yeah.
Like, I hate my voice.
No, and it's like, there's nothing bad about our voices. Just they're just normal voices like anybody else's. These people that say, oh, yeah, I've been told I have a good voice for radio, they think that it's still like Casey Kasem doing radio. Like, you only need to have smooth, sweet pipes.
Yeah.
And it's like, nah, those days are kind of gone. Maybe they're still going on like the warm stations or on the stars and that those kind of stations where maybe having the booming baritone pipes makes sense. But on KSW and other stations like ours, as long as you get something to say and you're people can relate to you in a story kind of a way, not in a vocal kind of a way, you're golden.
Yeah.
People, man, it cracks me up.
Well, and look, we have a couple friends that do voice work, right?
Yep.
You've heard them on multiple commercials in Seattle and stuff, but like, that is hard work. Like, there's not a ton of it. They got to hustle all the time.
I can't do that.
No.
I got once, I don't know if I've ever told you this story. I one time got asked to do a voiceover.
All right.
Like, outside of what we do here at the radio station, I was working at the end. I got a call from a random person and says, hey, man, I hear you on the radio. I think you'd be really good to be the voice of this product for a commercial. Can you just come down to the studios and do an audition? And I was all like, this is the beginning of Steve Miggs.
Voice actor.
And I was thinking, like, I'm even like going online to see what average people that do voice work make. And they do a very, like, a big time voice guy can make a very good career out of it.
Sure.
A very lucrative career. So I'm getting more and more excited about this.
It's going to be a new life for Steve.
Right. It's a whole new start, man. Because at that time, I was like part-time, minimum wage, barely scraping by early stages of me working in radio.
Yeah.
So I go down there, nice studio, really hip looking. It was for some kind of a caffeinated mint company, I think called Penguin Peppermints or something. I don't know.
Mm.
Long time ago, but it was like a new company and they wanted this like, he's like, yeah, your voice kind of has that kind of edge to it that we think is going to be great. And I'm like, awesome. And I could tell really quickly that I was not doing a good job when I was doing the audition. Because he's like, all right, cool. Hey, can you try and do a, and this is the weirdest thing. And I don't know if they were just doing it to F with me and maybe just like, give me something so absurd that I'm going to fail at it. Hey, how about you do that line as if you were Chinese? And I'm like, what? Like, do a Chinese impression while reading that line. And I don't know. I can't do impressions if you gave me $1,000 right now and said do impressions, you would take the $1,000 away from me.
Yeah, I do bad ones.
Right. My L-O. That's about it. That's my English impression. So I'm like Chinese, without sounding completely racist, I have no idea how to do a Chinese impression. And I certainly wasn't, even back then, thank God. Like, you know, obviously we've grown and matured as human beings and know things are not as sensitive as others. And like nowadays, I wouldn't even entertain it. But I thought about it for a second. I'm like, I don't know if I should ever, I don't think I should try this and have it be committed to tape. Like, this seems like a bad idea.
Yeah.
So I just finally go, I'm sorry, I can't do it. And he's like, what do you mean you can't do it? I'm like, I can't. I'm sorry. I don't feel comfortable doing it. And I don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, all right, man. Well, sorry to hear that. But we'll call you.
We'll let you know.
Yeah. Don't call us. We'll call you. And never heard from him again.
That is a weird one.
Yeah, I'm like, and then the whole time,
Chinese impression?
Like, and I remember like seeing their commercials eventually, and there wasn't a Chinese guy talking.
Yeah.
Like, what was that going to be?
That is strange.
Yeah. Yeah. Very weird. I'm glad I never did it, but that was my one moment of thinking I had the pipes, and then quickly finding out through a crushing and humiliating experience that I did not.
You don't have the pipes.
Kid.
He lays the pipe.
That's right.
Yeah.
So my sausage is available at Pain in the Grass at the BJ and Migs party. The Megacast will be back.
It's time for us to seal the deal and boogie. Whatever the that means. But we will be back.
Good morning, dear.
Oh, good morning.
Mwah. Sorry I'm running late for work. No time for breakfast this morning for this guy.
You sit down and eat, Mr. Ambitious. Work can wait. You need a nutritious breakfast.
Well, okay. Do we have Cheerios?
Sure do.
What kind of day? Is it multigrain or frosted or the new peanut butter or the new dulce de leche Cheerios?
Nope. Something brand new you're going to love. These Cheerios are just what the doctor ordered. Being impotent like you are.
What?
Yep. It's Cheerios with nuts, raisins, a little honey, and a touch of Viagra. It's nut and raisin honey Cheerios for impotent men like you.
Nut and raisin honey?
Yeah, I've heard that before. Eat up, hon. Cheerios is naturally low in fat and cholesterol, and now nut and raisin honey Cheerios can help keep our marriage intact, too.
Okay, I'm eating.
Hey, yo, Bob, you want to carpool into work today? I'm just leaving.
You can't leave yet, Eric. He's eating nut and raisin honey Cheerios for impotent men.
Okay, that's enough.
Right,
I don't know why you have to tell the whole
nut and raisin honey Cheerios from your friends at General Mills.
Face off.
Okay.
One of the guys liked to cruise downtown on his scooter, and I'd like to ride him. Oops. I mean ride with him. The Megacast is back.
Downtown, cruising through the alley, tiptoeing in the street like ballet. Pulled up, moped to the valet, white walls on the wheels like mayonnaise.
Downtown.
That's right. I'm going downtown.
I thought you were going downtown like next week, dude. So that's what I was like, I don't know. And then it's like, ah, you're going downtown next month. I got you.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. Meet me at the McDonald's, homie. Time we clicked up.
Just listen for that country music.
Oh.
Hey, you were watching the NHL Stanley Cup Finals, right? Of course you were. Oh, no, wait. You weren't because you didn't have cable. My bad.
Like, are you messing with
such
me
a
now?
I'm sorry. I'm such a jackass. I was like, you looked at me like, I'm like, oh crap, he's a Capitals fan. Maybe he didn't watch it because the Penguins were in the Stanley Cup final. Oh no, he just didn't have cable. Oh, so you missed that moment with Mike Milbury. So the Nashville Predator fans hated Milbury for what happened because he basically said that PK Subban kind of deserved, got what's coming to him with.
From Sid?
Yeah.
All right, so I've seen the highlights.
That thing was so messed up. So messed up.
You know what though? Look, it sounds like sour grapes as a Capitals fan. But I've seen some people making this argument online that Crosby gets away with this stuff all the time.
Look, and I'm a Devils fan, so maybe I'm biased as well because it's the same division. But Sidney Crosby, as much as I want to like him because he's arguably the best player in the NHL, is a punk bitch.
Yeah.
Things that he does, he should not be doing. And if you haven't seen it, I'm sure you can find it online. Him and PK Subban, who's the top player for the Nashville Predators, great player. They're on the ice, and they were kind of going at it the whole series. PK's a defenseman, Sidney's a forward. And they're on the ice, and Crosby's just banging Subban's head with a helmet on, but still banging his face into the ice.
Yeah.
Any other player would probably get suspended for that. Crosby got a matching penalty with PK, which I don't get. And you know what's funny is, like, people were just saying, talking about it, and had, you know, people were critical about Crosby. But I'm like, and I'm not trying to turn this into a race thing, but it is in a way, and it bothered me, and I'm not even a black dude, but PK's a black dude. If the roles were reversed and PK was doing that to Sidney Crosby, I can only think of one word that people would be using about PK Subban.
He's a thug.
Yep, yeah. I was about to say, it starts with the letter T.
Exactly.
And that's unfortunate.
Like, and people love to use it.
But nobody's calling Sidney Crosby a thug for what he did, and it was a thug move.
No, that's just part of the game, dude.
Yeah, well, like Mike Milbury's like, you know, he kind of got what's coming to him, which I didn't get.
Well, that's like, was he the same idiot that, like, earlier in the playoffs got on PK because he was dancing during warm-ups on the ice?
Yeah, I think so,
and
yeah.
And it's like, he doesn't respect the game, this and that. It's like, shut the F up.
Oh,
like,
I know.
Just say, I don't like it when black guys dance.
Right.
Like, just say it.
So that was, I thought I had it, but of course I don't. I was very excited to play the clip, and I don't have it.
Well, that's like for years, right? And I would talk about this on the men's room. Like, Brett Favre, right?
Yeah.
He also has the record for most interceptions. Brett Favre in playoff games ran over the line of scrimmage and still threw a football, which is a penalty,
yeah,
and laughed about it. But Brett Favre is a gunslinger, and he's just having fun,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when Donovan McNabb ran around and made stuff happen, he was undisciplined. If he laughed during the game, he didn't care enough.
Whereas funny?
Favre was just out there having fun.
How do people not realize when they're saying these things that doesn't seem weird?
Because it's acceptable.
Yeah, it's just sad that it is.
Yeah.
And it's sad that someone doesn't, like, the same person who would say about one person doesn't realize. And it just it depresses me, that kind of stuff. But I
mean, look, you can't lie that PK gets a lot of crap.
Oh, God, dude. Do you ever see on Twitter some of the things that people say to him on Twitter?
I can't even imagine.
I mean, people are freely calling him the N-word.
Yeah.
And it's like, look, I get Twitter's anonymous, but how do you throw that out there and think that that's okay?
I also don't like, you know, like, it's always kind of a joke in the black community, right? That white people do not spice their food.
Mm-hmm.
That we like kind of bland food, right? And I don't know if it's that far off. Now, granted, I'm from Maryland. I like Old Bay on everything.
Yeah, I like Old Bay, too.
Yeah.
I'm a one- or two-star guy, so I guess I'm kind of falling into that stereotype.
All right, I do that stereotype, too.
I like the dry rub.
When it comes to Thai food, right?
Yep. One star.
Right. God damn it. You're right. I am that guy.
Indian, one star.
But my point being is like that.
Chicken wings, mild.
Yeah, I like that lemon pepper.
Yeah.
Yeah, the dry rub.
Not spicy at all.
So that's like a stereotype, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's all right, but it's kind of a joke. But a stereotype, and I don't think it's a stereotype, but like black people are a lot more expression, mm-hmm, right? So like for years, like NFL is just always what I go back to. But it was a lot of white guys running in touchdowns and catching passes, right, in the 60s and stuff. And it was like, you just nicely toss the ball to the guy and walk away. It's like, just because we're kind of boring doesn't mean that, like, these black people or these black dudes are wrong for celebrating. Let him dance. He's warming up before a guy. I would say this, too. We're talking about grown adults playing an effing game.
Right.
Let him dance.
Right. We all say that they're playing a kid sport. So why can't they act like kids?
You got to have more respect for the game. Like, dude, you know, don't be mad just because he's having a little more fun.
My favorite, and by favorite, I mean it annoys me to no end, is when people have the old saying of act like you've been here before. And
yes!
I'm like, I'm sorry, if I score a touchdown, it doesn't matter if it's the first touchdown I ever score or the 100th touchdown, I am going to try and do a cartwheel because it's freaking awesome that I just scored a touchdown and now 70,000 people are screaming at me in excitement.
Yes!
I'm going to be the guy that I will do the Lambeau leap even if I'm not at Lambeau Field.
And it's rare.
Right.
I don't think people get that. You know, you get used to seeing, I don't know who scores the most touchdowns right now in the league, but it's like, they're not that common.
What is it, like 15 touchdowns is a good season.
Right. They got 16 of these games for the whole year. They play once a week. Like, scoring touchdowns is a big deal.
Yeah. I think about, remember when Jimmy Graham scored a touchdown after that injury and he came back, and you can see in his face, like, this is a guy who has millions upon millions of dollars and probably millions upon millions of women that want to do completely awesome things to him.
The most ripped individual I've seen.
Right. We've seen him naked.
Yeah.
In a hot tub.
Yeah.
We'll leave it at that. Maybe we shouldn't. We were at the VMAC and Luke Wilson gave us a tour and happened to bring us into the hot tub room.
Keep it weird. Luke Wilson was in my dream last night.
Oh, we got to talk about that after that.
Yeah.
But so here's a guy who, you know, he's been there before. He's caught plenty of touchdowns, but you saw his reaction. It's a big deal. It's important.
Yeah.
And also maybe they get a kickback financially. So that also adds to the excitement.
And they're pros.
But more importantly, let's talk about your dream about Luke Wilson.
Oh, he was just randomly in it.
Oh, that's it?
I've been having the most specific plain-ass dreams lately. Like somebody else the other day, I was like, hey, you're in my dream. And they're like, whoa, what was going on?
Isn't it funny we all just immediately assume it's going to be sexual?
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. And I was like, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I go, we were just hanging out. And then same thing. Last night, I was just at like some big dinner, and like Luke was like one of the special guests. And somebody's like, don't you know Luke? And I was like, yeah. And I went over and talked to him, and he was really happy to see me. It was fun. Like, that's what I'm saying.
That is truly the most boring dream I've ever heard.
Nothing happened. I think literally I just saw him tweet our picture of him before I went to bed. So he popped into my head.
Did you ever pull this? I used to do this in my single days. If there was a chick you wanted to kind of have naughty conversations with via text or via instant messenger back in the day. It'd always be the best way to get into it. And I think they bought it and understood it and went with it as well if they were interested. Otherwise, they would just kind of laugh it off. But it was, had a dream about you last night.
Oh, good line.
Yeah. Oh, you haven't tried that one?
No.
Oh, Ted, you're a single man. You can do it.
All right. All right.
If any of the chicks that you've had some fun times with, that's a good icebreaker to get back into that mindset with them.
I like, too, that I've shown up in other people's dreams.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like, we have a friend... and one day he told me, he was like, hey man, I gotta tell you, my wife had a dream about you.
And it was the best sex she's ever had?
It was sensual.
Was it really?
I took my time, there was glasses of red wine involved.
Are you serious?
Yeah, dude, Dream Ted is a pimp.
Wait, so his wife had a dream about you?
Correct.
And then she told him that she had a dream about you?
Right, because I think she felt uncomfortable about it.
Do I know him?
Yeah.
Can I put the mics off for a second?
Yeah.
All right. Wow. Ryan Castle's wife?
Oh,
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
He's kidding.
I'm joking.
That is not the person. Jesus. No, she told him because I think she felt uncomfortable. And then he felt so uncomfortable about it that I think he felt like he had to tell me.
Wow.
Yeah. And like some people.
I don't know how I'd handle it if my wife woke me up and said, hey, I had a weird dream and I was banging Ted and he was really good.
Yeah, but it's kind of, you know, like, I don't, like, I hang out with this person, but, like, his wife's kind of like your wife. She doesn't go out a lot. So I have limited interaction with her.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, but some of that stuff.
You know what, I think that's more tolerable. Honestly, it would probably feel weird for me because my wife has had a lot of quality time with you.
Yeah.
And I think it would be weirder if the person that my wife was having a sexual dream about was someone that she's had a lot of quality time with, not in, like, a sexual way, but a friendly way. As opposed to an acquaintance. Because then it'll be like, haha, that's very random and funny.
Yeah, and there's something to that.
Not that I would get mad at her if she had a sex dream about you. It'd just be weird.
It would be weird. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's why when he brought it, I was like, I can't believe you're bringing this up to me. But I know dreams are deeper than just the way they look.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Somehow I ended up there. But for either way.
Because you're a pimp.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, man, Dream Ted, like sometimes I'll get emails and they're like, yeah, you showed up. And I'm telling you, Dream Ted is like, number one, he's smoother, but he's getting laid all the time.
So he's Leisure Suit Larry.
Yeah.
He's Dream Ted.
Who's Leisure Suit Larry?
I can't do it either, man. Try and say that fast.
Leisure Suit Larry.
Again, for those of you wondering, do you need good pipes to be a radio personality? No, you don't even need to have a good command of the English language.
You ever have days where you just can't speak on the air?
Every freaking morning, yes.
Oh, I mean, right. A lot of days I mess up, but like there was a couple days last week where I was just like, I cannot say something. And people will never understand. Like if I get scared on the men's room, it's when I've said a word, I know it's not right.
Yep.
But my brain just at that point will not allow me to say it.
And it's funny. Sometimes it's like athletes. A lot of times I have the problem with, and I will hear announcers say it. I, like, in Dominican Sue, is that how it is?
In Dominican Sue?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear it all the time. I hear it in my head properly, but when I try and say it out of my mouth, it's like, mangabugaboo.
Yeah.
It's like, no, that's not it. The guy on the Lions. That's
like Joanna Champion. I cannot say her last name.
Isn't that funny?
So, right. So but I mean,
Leisure Suit Larry is a very hard name to say.
Leisure Suit Larry.
Do you know who that is?
No.
It's a video game character from back in the day that was just basically his video game was that he went around and just like bedded women.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what Dream Ted's
doing.
That's
what I'm talking about.
But he's very respectful, too. It's amazing.
He's a romantic. He wines. He dines.
Yeah.
He bangs you in your dreams.
Oh, hey.
Leisure Suit Ted.
Friggin' Dream Ted over here.
Can't compete with Dream Ted.
Right? What I should do is round up all the women that have been with Dream Ted and get the notes. Like, all right, what was he doing?
Yeah. We should have them on the Megacast and they should like compare notes.
Do you think Dream Ted and I are working with the same size equipment, or do you think because it's Dream Ted, he's got bigger equipment?
I mean, I don't think women are dreaming about guys
average
that are size average.
Penises.
Right. I think everybody's got massive dongs in a woman's dream.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know, man. He's Dream Ted. He probably spends like, you know, an hour on foreplay. So by the time you get to the actual sex, I mean, it's already over.
Oh, and Dream Ted, I think, has a massive dong and also has great motion to his ocean.
Oh, Dream Ted.
Shout out to Dream Ted.
God. It's pathetic that he's doing more than I am.
He's getting laid all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
Taking his time. Sensual.
So the only moral, I was going to play this audio, but at the end of the Stanley Cup Finals, Mike Milbury's talking with the guys.
Oh, yeah, BK Subban.
I got back to it. There's fans in the background that are just cursing, and it was on national television. F you, Milbury.
Yeah.
Get out of Nashville. It was great.
I did hear that one.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I love that guy. That guy, right, he is so odd. It's just F you, get out of Nashville.
Well, he's a piece of crap, Mike Milbury, A, for the things that he said, but also he's the guy that got in trouble many years ago because I always forget the full story, but basically he tripped a kid in the handshake line for his like kid's hockey team, and he was like the coach or something like that, and he got fired for it.
Jesus Christ.
Like, he was too extreme.
Yeah.
Yeah. He probably sucks in bed and dreams as well.
Oh, come on. Milbury, you know how he goes. It's fast. It's over. He got what he wanted. He's out.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Dream Ted's going to hook up.
He's got like light candles, put rose petals on the bed.
Yeah.
He's going to have like a nice, like, you know, take you to brunch.
Might be one of those bug's nest or whatever.
Mm.
You know, like around the bed. Isn't that sick?
Romantic. Oh, like the mosquito thing? Like,
all right, maybe not that, but you know what I mean.
Like the meshy, lacy.
Yeah.
Like curtain that goes around the bed with the poles.
Yeah.
The poles and the curtain.
Poles and the curtain. I've got ties.
What are you using those ties for?
Well, to tie people to post.
Ah.
But it's nice and romantic. See, it sounds aggressive.
No, but it's silk. It sounds
aggressive when I say it. But when Dream Ted does it, you don't even know.
He doesn't even say it. He just does it.
Right? And he's naked. But where did he get those silk ties from?
You don't ask.
Right.
He's like a magician. Pulling them out of orifices. Why don't we call it a day?
Yeah, maybe we should.
Hey, man, if you haven't already, please join us at Pain in the Grass. It's going to be next Saturday. It's going to be a blast. And there are still spots available and tickets available for the BJ and Migs part of the party. But it does include hanging out with Leisure Suit Ted and the men's room, because we're all sharing. I don't get why our company thought that it was a good idea to not say that. I think that's a great selling point, that not only are you hanging out with the men's room, you're hanging out with our show. And not only are you hanging out with our show, but you're hanging out with the men's room. To me, it makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was just a bonus when you got there. Like, oh, yeah, the parties are together.
Well, it's our little secret.
Secret.
Let's get 10.
If you take a step towards me, you'll take my breath away. So I'll keep you close and keep my secret safe. No one else has ever loved me. Has ever tried, never understood.
Plus, that party would be a great place for people to get that mega hug.
Oh, yeah. Mega hugs. When I laid
my eyes on you, some people dream about those mega hugs.
Damn right they do. I like when people say, like, I saw Steve, I only got half a mega hug.
I know. When I was at that window pane show, I hugged a few people, and like, if only Ted was here, then I could have got the mega hug. I was like, what, my hug's not good enough by itself?
It's not enough, Steve.
It isn't. Well, thank you for listening, and follow us on Twitter, @TheMegacast.
Yeah.
Anything else, Ted?
Ah! We'll see you back here next week, then hopefully we'll see you at Pain.
Oh, Friday night. Join me at 321 Battle. I'm now the commissioner of 321 Battle.
And that's this week.
This Friday, so all the right. 16th. Friday night at the Battle Palace, a.k.a. Evolve Fitness. Starts at 9 p.m. Come hang out, drink some beers, have a good time. It's going to be a great time. And buy our t-shirts, KISW.com. You can get information on our Twitter page.
Dope.
All right, bye-bye. Leisure suit. Leisure.
Leisure. No, Leisure Suit Larry.
And Ted. Bye-bye.